This is Youpreneur FM, the official podcast of the Youpreneur Mastermind Community, a place where no entrepreneur gets left behind in their pursuit of building a business they can be proud of.
And now,
here's your host, serial entrepreneur and best-selling author, Chris Ducker.
Well, hello and welcome to episode number 185 of Youpreneur FM. Thank you very much for being with me as always. And today marks something very, very special. Yes, that's right. It's October 7th, but it also is the beginning of a month-long rerun season. That's right. Last month, I put two of my older episodes up. We're talking the best of the best of the podcast, and you guys went crazy for it. You absolutely loved the fact that you could catch up on stuff that you probably wouldn't have even discovered, because let's face it, when you visit and you discover a podcast for the first time, you might maybe go back into the archives a little bit, but you're not going to go way back, and you don't know what gold is lying in them there hills, my friends. So this month, we're going to be bringing you every week, every Friday, one golden episode from the show's archive so you can get your teeth into the content that you might have missed before. And before we kick all that off, I would just love to bring to your attention a brand new ebook that I put together, which is called The Personal Branding Roadmap. If you haven't already downloaded your copy, you can do so at youpreneur.com/ebook. And I will say, I put this content together really for people that are just starting out and wanting to take their personal brand more seriously. So if you already have an established brand, this isn't for you. But if you have a brand that maybe you want to give a little bit of a kickstart, bit of a jumpstart to, and breathe a little bit more new life into, this is perfect for you. And if you're just really starting out and taking this thing way more seriously, then this is absolutely written for you. So one more time, head over to youpreneur.com/ebook to go ahead and download your free copy. Okay, so on to my first rerun episode for the month. This is with the one and only Ramit Sethi. Now, Ramit really does need no real introduction on this show. He's easily one of the most requested guests on the show. He's become probably one of the most successful online entrepreneurs out there, with another multi-million dollar launch just under his belt not so long ago. And so this is just fitting. But believe me, this episode alone, he should have charged us. He should have charged us $10,000 for this, because we're talking about over a decade of experience under his belt, building online businesses and teaching other people how to do likewise as well. I love this episode. It's one of my personal favorites in the archives, and I know you're going to love it too. So here's myself and Ramit. Enjoy. So Ramit, welcome to the show, my man.
Thanks for having me.
It's going to be good. I'm so happy. Our schedules are crazy. We've been able to get this time together right here between Christmas and New Year. This show is going out first week of January because it's just so damn important. I bumped it to the top of the queue.
Thank you.
And we could go in so many different directions with this conversation, but I want to really talk about breaking free. I'm all about the freedom, as you know, with virtual freedom and all the rest of it. And you've done such a remarkable job in being able to, you know, really break free from life, just from shackles, from calendars, from everything. And I know my audience is just going to devour this conversation. For those people that are tuning in that maybe might have been living under a rock for a little while, can you give us the quick 2-minute bio so that they are sort of 100% up to speed, so to speak?
Yeah, absolutely. Many people have heard of I Will Teach You to Be Rich, and they might have thought of it as a personal finance site.
Sure.
And that's originally how it started. But it's actually beneath the surface, there's quite a bit more going on. So I'm kind of excited to talk about what we've been developing behind the scenes and how we've done it. Years and years ago, I took my college scholarship money and I invested it in the stock market, and I immediately lost about half of it. And I realized that I needed to learn how money worked. And so I started learning about investing and money. And at the same time, I was studying human behavior, social influence, and persuasion at Stanford. And I sort of put those two together And I started to see a lot of myths out there about the way we thought about money. So, you know, like people would tell us, keep a budget. Nobody keeps a budget. Stop spending money on lattes. Who wants to live life like that?
Right.
And so there were all these people giving these sort of pieces of advice, and no one was actually following it. Who wants to follow that stuff? So I started trying to teach my friends this stuff because I had learned about investing in money over the past few years. And everybody said, cool, cool, that sounds awesome. And then they would never show up to these free classes that I tried to teach at school. And so eventually I got pretty demoralized, and I just started a blog called IWillTeachYouToBeRich.com. And looking back, I mean, I can't believe I picked that name sober, but I did.
Come on, man. And, I mean, it's a great name. It sums it up, right?
It definitely does. And I think, you know, a lot of times what people immediately jump to is the idea that rich just means money in the bank.
Right.
And I do think that money is a part of a rich life. But as we're going to talk about today, you know, it's freedom. It's flexibility. It's the ability for me to go work out in the middle of the day or take an extra 2-hour lunch on a Wednesday. So we can talk about all that. In any case, I started the blog. I started talking about, you know, how to make money work for you. Where do you start, et cetera. And over time, really, I started showing people that it wasn't really just about money. It was about using psychology to change and control your life, to live a rich life. So we, you know, I wrote a book. It became a New York Times bestseller overnight. And that was in 2009. And I started creating these courses. Now, since then, we've created courses in the areas of starting a business, mastering your psychology, negotiating your salary and finding a dream job. And we've even expanded into areas like fitness. So you can imagine that there are a lot of areas that we know we should be doing better at. Like, oh, I should be going to the gym. I should be saving money. But we don't. And I think all of us can think of those things. That area where we know we should be doing something, but we aren't, that's where I live. That's what we've created courses that since then, you know, we have over 15 successful courses. We've built a business up. It's grown every year. And we can talk about some of the strategies we use to build that business and, you know, how we've grown a list of hundreds of thousands of subscribers with some very advanced strategies. But we can also talk about basics, like how did we come up with an idea to create not just one course, not just five courses, but really build an engine that allowed us to grow a business and help millions and millions of students. To me, that's the really rewarding part. And we made some very unusual business choices along the way that I think I don't know of anyone else who's done those choices. So we can talk about those as well.
Man, there's a lot to talk about. How long you got?
Man, all day for you.
There you go. All right. Well, I mean, I love strategy. I love systems. I love, you know, anything psychology based, anything growth, you know, based. We love all that stuff on this show. But I do want to dumb it down a little to begin with. And you know, because here's the thing, right? There's so much info online. My question is, yeah, and me myself, I'm a consumer of content just like you probably are and a lot of other people that are listening in. We consume content from other people. Some of it's very useful, some of it not so useful. Some of it we finish consuming and we're like, why the hell I just waste 5 minutes of my life, you know, that kind of thing. But here's the thing, and this is, you know, what I always sit down and I start looking at this stuff and I ask myself, you know, there's so much really good stuff out there. Why aren't people starting? Why aren't they getting going? They've got everything they need, a lot of it for free, spread out, I'll bet, but nonetheless, a lot of it for free. Why do they not get started? What do you think the biggest pain point is there in terms of actually getting that needle, you know, to move?
Well, I think the ultimate tragedy in life, one of the ultimate tragedies in life, is to become a consumer and remain a consumer. And I don't think there's anything wrong with consuming material. I consume a huge amount of it. But at a certain point, I want to turn that into action and become a producer. Because otherwise, what's the point?
Right, right.
You can sit and read blog after day, but that doesn't change anything. We've identified a few different areas of why people don't. First of all, the idea that I don't have the right piece of information, that's a really, really common one. Mm-hmm. And it manifests itself in certain phrases we use, like, I need to get my ducks in a row, okay? It's kind of like people who hire someone to come help them clean their house or clean their apartment, but they want to clean before the cleaner comes.
Right.
So they want to get all their ducks in a row before they start. But ironically, the way you get your ducks in a row is to start. So that's one. You know, another one is the opposite, which is to have too much information. And that's definitely true. I mean, if you look at starting a business online, there's a million different places you could learn. My resolution for that, two parts to this. One was learn from the best. You will, the very best know more than 100 times more than the next best. Mm-hmm. Okay, so for me, it always paid to learn from the very best. And I think that's true in many industries. And, you know, beyond that, I think that also you have to accept the fact that you're going to learn from some people who may just, it may just be bad information, but you need to go through that. For example, when I decided to learn copywriting a few years ago, I said to myself, I want to become a world-class copywriter. So I bought effectively every book on copywriting there is to find. And somebody just a couple weeks ago asked me, Ramit, what copywriting books would you recommend? What can you 80-20 it for me? Can you tell me what the best 20% copywriting books are so I don't have to waste my time with all these? And I actually replied in a way that he didn't expect. I said, you know what? I would recommend reading all of them. Yes, most of them are bad, but in order to recognize the good ones, you have to read the bad ones because then you know what to compare them to. If you only read the good ones, you would have no idea or basis for comparison. So those are the two kind of major areas, too much information, not enough information. But ultimately, at a certain point, you have to say to yourself, I'm going to bet on myself and realize that I have enough to get started. Otherwise, you'll just sit there and be a consumer for the rest of your life.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. And you're absolutely right. I mean, you know, I recently put out an image on social, which was what I call a duckerism. There you go. I've coined it now officially. And I say in it, nobody never got anywhere without working their ass off.
Yeah.
And it really does come down to actually just getting started and, you know, keeping your foot down on the gas. So when you got started then, and you know, let's not completely start at the beginning, but let's kind of, you know, when you had started and, you know, you'd put one or two of these courses out, you saw some similarities, I would have thought. You saw, you know, what worked a little bit and maybe what bombed completely. What were some of the, you know, the initial testing strategies that you would sit back and sort of start putting into place going into then building out the business a little further based on those first few hits?
Well, the first course I ever put out was a $4.95 ebook. I mean, it was laughable it's laughable now. I look back, we have courses that are $12,000.
Right, right, right.
And I mean, to me, it was like unbelievable that someone would actually pay $4.95. And just to illustrate how little confidence I had in myself, I didn't even set up a payment processing system. Like now, you know, when people buy something, they automatically get fulfilled by some course software. I literally put a PayPal button and I was just going to email people who bought it because I thought 50 people would buy it max.
Right.
And like more than that bought it the first day. And this really blew my mind, but I'll tell you many of the testing strategies I learned along the way. The first thing, when I created this $5 ebook, I really just looked at it as a test. I was optimizing for learning, not for revenue. I think that's really important. A lot of the entrepreneurs I talk to when they first start, they come to me and they want to start a business. They want to create a $1,000 course. And they have these astronomical goals. Like, I want to make 100K off this course on launch. And I really discouraged that approach the first time. I do think that if you optimize for learning, not for revenue, you're actually going to make way more. So I'll give you an example. When I optimized for learning there, I learned about payment processing. I really didn't care about pricing because I wanted to get a large number of customers and see what happened. So for example, how do you handle refund requests? Not just on a technical basis, but like, When you create something you love and then people ask for a refund, it feels horrible. It feels like getting rejected over and over again. And that's a really subtle thing that a lot of people don't get. So you need to go through the fire in order to do that. When I was able to do that with my team, so we optimized for learning, not revenue, then over time we learned to get you know, make a lot more revenue.
Right.
So my first encouragement, my first test was, what can I learn? How do we price this thing correctly? How do we create different tiers, like a pro tier, standard tier, etc.? And then how do we handle some of the back end? Like, once you join, do you get an upsell, etc.? These are things that took us a little while to learn. Now we know it, and so we can maximize revenue. But my basic key takeaway there was, optimize for learning, not for revenue. Don't try to maximize your revenue up front, because you really don't have enough customers to do that. Just try to learn as much as you can. And if you do that the right way, you will make more revenue than you can even possibly imagine.
I love it. Okay, so let's say we've got our idea and, you know, we're now wanting to go. And, you know, what I love about this, the name of your course, which has done incredibly well, I know you're relaunching. And this, the reason why I wanted you on the show to talk about this and everything else that you've got going on, Zero to Launch, right? So how can we get to the point of saying, this is my idea. I may not have a lot of time, but I know that people want and need this. How do we go from that position to getting it out for the world to find and discover and purchase, and not just make money, but also genuinely help people along the way as well?
Yeah. Well, here's an interesting thought that might strike a lot of people as surprising. Let's say I gave you the perfect business idea right now. Would you know what to do with it? The perfect business idea. Would you know how to turn that into a successful business? And for most of us, the answer is no. So isn't it interesting that we spend so much time saying, I don't have the right idea, I don't have the right idea, as if it's just going to fall down from the heavens. But even if we got the perfect business idea,
right,
we would have no idea what to do with it.
Right.
So I think that's a very important point to make. And that is, the idea is critical. It's really important, but it's one part of starting a business. Okay. It's like the artists we know, like, you know, musicians who are amazing at what they do and they're completely broke. You don't want to just be the person who only has an idea. You need to turn that into a business and make it sustainable. So we can talk about that.
Yeah, you know, I mean, and I know, and sorry to cut you off, but I know a lot of people tuning in right now, they probably got what I like to call a side hustle going already. They're still trapped in that 9-to-5 position, but, you know, they have that, you know, they have a little bit of a platform there. They might have a little bit of a mailing list. So these guys were already pretty much ahead of the curve in terms of where we're, when you were, when you launched that $5 ebook, right?
I mean, I was horrible. I didn't know what I was doing.
You heard it here first, folks.
You can go back and look at the sales copy. Go back right now and just Google it. Just so you know, it's all up there. It's all public.
Right.
Go and Google Ramit's 2007 Guide to Kicking Ass. And just read that cringe-inducing sales copy where I'm like, hey, guys, I know that you could probably find stuff for free, but why don't you join? Come on.
Right.
And I'm just – I read it now and I'm like, just kill me, please. Just
yeah.
End it.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's so bad. But I learned, right? And so you get better at each stage. The ironic thing is with business, particularly online business, people expect to start their business and compare themselves to people who are already making millions of dollars.
Mm.
It makes no sense. That's why, you know, I talk in Zero to Launch. I tell students, do not try to launch a $2,000 course the first time, because there are really subtle things you learn with a $50 product than a $500 product that you need to know in order to get to the next level, which is a $1,000 or $2,000 product.
Right.
You can't skip it. You got to go through the fire.
Right. And I think it's cool that you keep all that old content live for people to come across, because it backs up your optimize to learn, not to generate revenue thing straight out the gate, right?
Look at the YouTube. Yeah, definitely. Look at the YouTube videos. I mean, I look horrible. My hair's all messed up. You can see, like, there's, like, broken things in the back of my apartment. It's not good.
And dude, like, it sounds totally ghetto, this thing. I love it.
Really ghetto.
Totally checking
it
out.
I think it's important. Yeah, it's important to show the heritage, because I don't want to pretend that, oh, I woke up and one day, you know, now I have this fancy studio that costs $10,000 a day and this $60,000 camera that my video crew uses. Oh, I was just born like that. No.
Right.
I started taking pictures off a Mac laptop and I didn't even know how to use the angle. So, like, my forehead looks enormous. But over time, I learned how to turn it into a business, just as everyone should. And then you can invest the revenue back into improving the graphics, the product, everything. So back to your question. Your question was about they have a side hustle and they have a small list. What do you do next? Okay. You know what really shocked me? I remember sitting at a taqueria around 2006, and one of my friends who knew a little bit more about marketing than I did at the time, I had an email list of about 50,000 at this point. So pretty big, but in the grand scheme of things, not the biggest list. And she goes, if I had a list of 50,000, I would be making $1 million a year. And I mean, I looked at her, I'm just sitting there eating this burrito, and I looked at her and I was like, what? You're crazy. And over time, I came to realize that she actually knew exactly what she was talking about. And now the math is, it's very simple to know how to make $1 million from a 50,000 person list. But here's the interesting part. I have students now with a list of 1,000 to 5,000 people who are making several hundred thousand dollars a year. Now, that's pretty amazing. That means you have to be adding a lot of value. People who are buying, you know, products, they're not stupid. They're actually really smart. And there's refund policies, et cetera. So you got to be good. The good news for everyone is you don't need a massive list of 25 or 50,000. You can start with a small list of a few hundred or even a couple of thousand. Boom. You can validate your idea and get sales, and now you're in business. Mm. So what do you say? Should we go down that route of, you know, what are some steps that people can take, or what do you recommend here?
Yeah, no, yeah. Let's break it down. I mean, you know, I'm a little familiar with the course. I know you break things down into modules. Let's open the kimono a little bit. Let's maybe talk people through. What have you got? Like, is it four or five different modules in the course itself?
We have four modules,
okay.
And then we have something we call vaults. So we have four vaults as well.
Nice.
We do things a little differently. So a lot of courses, what they'll do is they'll say, okay, like, here's, you need to build an email list. Here's 10 ways to build your email list. You need to do this. Here's 10. I don't believe in giving you an encyclopedia of options.
Right.
If you want options, just Google create a business. We have over 20,000 customers. We've been in business for over 10 years. We have tested all the different strategies. My belief is you came to me because you want to know what works. So let me give you the two best strategies and show you how to go into detail on those. And if you want, you know, here's a piece of paper with 20 other strategies. But if you just do these two, you will be successful.
Nice.
So I'll tell you what a lot of people do, and then I'll tell you what I recommend. So when it comes to starting a business, a lot of people, they do the classic pick your niche, you know, come up with an idea, do a little bit of light testing, put it into an MVP or minimum viable product, and then put it out there and see what the market tells you. That's a general overview of what is recommended. I got to say that I agree with some of that, but there's a graveyard littered with people who have tried that approach and failed, and then they give up. And that is because it doesn't take into account psychology. It's very discouraging to try something, spend all this time and money building a beautiful website, beautiful design, only to get a trickle of sales, if any, and then you don't know what went wrong. Was it the wrong price? Was it the wrong offer, the wrong name, the wrong audience? You have no idea. So we want to be able to break it down and systematically test it along the way. And why am I talking about this? Because as I said, I never wanted to be a one-hit wonder, like Milli Vanilli. I wanted to be able to create a repeatable process so that we could create not one course, not two courses, but as many as we want. And by the time we launch a course, we virtually guarantee that it will sell. Okay? That's my goal.
Right.
So that's what I want to talk to your listeners about.
Okay.
So here's what I recommend. The first thing, of course, is, you know, to freeform come up with a variety of ideas. And we go into this more in the course, but for the purposes of today, most of us have some great ideas inside our head. We have great ideas. And like I said, I could give you the perfect idea, but you need to know how to turn that into a business. So let me give a framework that people can use right now. It's called the demand matrix. Now imagine you have an X and Y axis. So going vertical, you have low price and high price, okay? And then left to right, you have few customers and many customers. Now, I'm going to show you what I mean by this. It's just very simple. It's four different options.
Sure.
This allows you to take your idea and classify it, categorize it, so that you know if it's even a good idea in the first place. Okay? Here, so let me show you what I mean. Top left corner is high end. This is high price, few customers. On the top right, golden goose. This is high price, many customers. Now we're going like clockwork. Bottom right, mass market. Low price, many customers. And finally, bottom left, labor of love. Low price, few customers. So again, top left, and then we're going to go like a clock. It's high end, then golden goose at the top right, mass market, and labor of love. Okay, why am I talking about this? Because you can take your idea and place it into one of these boxes, and you can immediately see if this idea is viable. So this is what we do at I Will Teach to make sure that we're pursuing the right idea, because the worst thing for us is to spend all this time and money building a course only to have nobody pay. Or worse, for them to say, yeah, that's cool. I can see how my mother-in-law would like that. Maybe when I have a little bit more free time. I mean, that's not their fault. That's your fault.
Right.
Because
right.
You didn't validate your idea to solve a burning problem. So the demand matrix. When people come to me, they say like, oh, I want to teach people how to lose weight. Cool. Great. How do you want to position that? And then they say, you know, healthful eating for young mothers between the age of 23 and 24 living in the Philippines. I'm like, okay, interesting idea. I try to be supportive. It doesn't come naturally. And then I say, where does that idea fall on this demand matrix? And as they go through it, they realize this is a labor of love. It's a low price because healthful eating is not particularly compelling to people and it has few customers. Boom. They instantly know, do not pursue that idea. But you can pursue some of the other ones. Like if you imagine high end. Chris, what's an example of a high end company that has high prices and few customers?
I would say something along the lines of a high end consulting recruiting company. Maybe so real high end, real executive stuff.
Really, executive recruiting.
Yeah.
Or you could say Rolls Royce, right?
That would work. Let's shoot for the stars. Why not?
Perfect. Golden goose would be something like Apple, and iPhone. It's high price, many customers. Mass market be something like McDonald's, okay?
Right,
low
right.
price, many customers. And then labor of love is anything that really, you don't want to be in labor of love. That's a hobby. That's what so many people come, the first idea, they're like, you really need to know how to use this a metallurgic property to improve your water taste. I'm like, labor of love, get the hell out of here.
Right.
So you want to be careful to avoid that. So that's one way you can take your idea and vet it before you ever spend any money developing your product.
Love it. Okay. Next.
Okay. So you
carry on with the modules. Let's keep going. I like this.
You get an idea. And the next thing to understand, like I said, going through the fire, it doesn't have to be perfect yet. Okay. You're still in the testing phase. So now we're going to have you go to your market. Go ask them, like, tell me about this. And we spend a lot of time just listening to people. We create 5-question surveys. We use SurveyMonkey. It's like free or it's like $20 a month. And we ask them questions like, you know, tell us about, losing weight. Have you tried anything else before? How do you feel? What would it mean to you if you lost weight? How much? And if you really want to help people, they will answer your questions. You're not selling anything at this point. Notice that. You're not saying... this is a classic mistake people make. In the research phase, they'll ask stuff like, if I were to present the perfect opportunity to you that could possibly change your life, would you be willing to put down 4 payments of $59.90? I'm like, no, this is not the sales phase. You're just doing research. Now, at this point, a lot of people get frustrated because they're like, how do I find my market?
Right.
You know, my market, I think, is 27 to 34-year-old women who want to lose weight. And I say, if you can't find your market during the research phase, when you're not even selling anything, how will you find them when you are trying to sell something?
Yeah.
So this is where you have to get creative, and we have some strategies in Zero to Launch about how to find your market and what to say to them exactly. I believe in word-for-word scripts, so I give you the exact scripts on what to say. So you reach out, you start to understand the language they use. And I'll give you an example here that's really subtle, but it's been worth millions to us. We have a course called Earn 1K on the Side, and it's a freelancing course. It teaches people how to build a freelancing business, get clients, etc. Now, when we were testing this, we discovered that we could help a lot of people earn a lot more than 1K. Like, our successful students have earned hundreds of thousands of dollars, right? Or easily 10K. But guess what? When we started testing the idea of earn 10K, you know what people said? They were like, I'm not the kind of person who could earn 10K. There's no way.
Right. The self-doubt comes into play. Right.
Exactly. So if you're, I'm just going to use a weight loss product because it's easy. If you're doing a weight loss product and you're like, lose 50 pounds in 2 months, guess what? You could maybe help people do it, but you're going to limit your audience. And the only way to figure that out is to listen to your market. A lot of them will just tell you, look, I'm just trying to lose those last stubborn 10 pounds. Okay. So there's a lot of subtlety in listening. And again, we cover the details of this. Also, when it comes to earn 1K on the side, your listeners will resonate with this a lot, because a lot of people thought that if they have to start a business, they have to quit their job, raise venture capital, and go start the next Google. Well, as we know, there's a lot of value in just starting something on the side. Hmm. You know, you have your flexibility, your freedom. So we learned that from listening, and then we put that into the product. So you've taken your idea, you've validated it, you found out that it's a burning pain for people. It's not just like, oh yeah, that would be nice. It's like, oh my God, I think about this every day of my life. And once you know that, we have some benchmarks for how to know if you're ready to build the product. Okay, you don't want to just build the product if a few people have told you, oh yeah, that's not, like, yeah, I would maybe pay for that. You want people ravenously almost tackling you and saying, please take my money.
Right.
When that happens to us, we know we're ready to go. So that is where you find, now you're ready to begin building your product. This is the opposite of what most people will advise you, which is, hey, just build something quick and then test it out there. I think you should spend, like an iceberg, you know, like let's say 80% of the iceberg is below the surface. I want you to know that 80% of the work is done before you ever build that product.
Right. And I agree. I don't like the idea of people just throwing a ton of stuff up there and seeing how much is going to stick, right? It's a turnoff for me from a sales perspective as well.
It's totally. You like, look, when people come to my site, they don't come to say, oh, like, let me just see what Ramit is up to. They come because they're like, I'm ready for the best. Okay? So if you think of like a great, great company that you admire, when you walk into, let's say, an Apple, right? Or let's say it's a Coach handbags. When you walk in, you're not like, oh, let's see what Apple threw together today. You walk in, you know that the Coach handbag you buy is the best handbag that fits your lifestyle, okay? Or Balenciaga or Louis Vuitton, whatever it may be. So I think it's really important to spend the time to build the quality, because in a world where there's so many $10 ebooks out there, if you have an absolute top quality product, there is something called a flight to quality. People, when they want the best, they will come to you, and price is a mere triviality. And then, you know, if they want to experiment with $10 ebooks, let them. That's not your market. You want people who are ready to invest in themselves. But in order to do that, you want to create an amazing artisanal product. That's what we talk about in ZTL.
I love it. Okay. So, all right, we understand what our you know, our audience is looking for. We know how we're going to serve them. Now we start putting the product together itself. Give us some steps on that.
Okay, so products, this is interesting because, you know, you get a lot of questions people ask about how much should I charge? What's the format of the product, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. When we are creating a product for us, and, you know, our products at this stage, we have it takes us a lot of time. We do a lot of research. We spend a lot of money and time and resources to test everything. We don't decide the price until almost the very end. We certainly don't decide the name until the very end. But we have something we call a playbook. And a playbook, which we teach you how to build, is basically a document that shows you everything you need to know about your product. So as you're doing research, you're putting that into your playbook. When it's time to choose the format of your product, like is it a video course, is it an audio course, is it recurring or not, you go back and look at that playbook. And I'll give you an example. Let's say someone wants to lose those last stubborn 10 pounds. Okay, that's one type of product. Let's say someone wants to change their entire lifestyle and they want to lose 50 to 75 pounds over the course of 2 years. You can see pretty clearly that that's a different type of product.
Right, right, right.
One might be a short video course. One might be a recurring membership program. You see? So many people believe that, oh, I'm just going to think about what type of product to create here and just decide in the comforts of my own office. Wrong. You need to get out to the market, and they will tell you what their needs are, and then that determines what type of product you make. We've found that in general, you know, video courses do really well. We have some general pricing strategies as well and some ways of maximizing offers. Now here, if you want to talk about some advanced stuff, we can talk about it in terms of testing, segmentation, tiers. I mean, you tell me what would be most valuable.
Yeah, I love to get into the testing side of things a little bit more because right. I know you're like renowned. I mean, you test the hell out of everything. So I'd love to get inside your brain a little bit more on that.
All right. So we do a lot of tests. And the first thing I'll say is that most of the testing that everyone listening needs to do is in the early stages where you're just listening. That's a test too. We consider it a test. We're listening to people and we're coming up with a theory on what this product might be, but we're just testing it. We're listening. What do they tell us? Oh, they don't really care about that. Oh, they want to look better, but they want to start with their clothes, not their weight. Cool. Let's talk about that. So we're just listening. But I know a lot of people want to know some of the meatier testing stuff, so we can talk about that. We test a variety of things. So for us, testing includes really basic stuff like emails. Here's a quick tip. We, in general, hardly do subject line tests anymore. It just doesn't produce that big of a result for us.
Right.
So I think a lot of times people get obsessed with the idea of, let me split test my subject line. I mean, we have a relatively large email list. It makes very little difference. Even if you get a 20% improvement on one subject line, that's one email of hundreds or maybe thousands you're going to send over the course of a year. It makes zero difference on your business, zero difference on your revenue. So don't waste the time. I prefer to focus on the four or five big wins of your business instead of these minor little micro tests. I mean, that insight alone took me years and years to figure out.
Hmm.
We, like everyone else, we thought we were so cool testing, you know, red versus blue, big buttons versus small buttons. Effectively, it makes no difference until you're at a massive, massive scale. So don't waste your time. The other testing we do is we will test pricing. That one takes a long time. Pricing could be what is the price? It could be different payment plans. That kind of test is very valuable.
Let's deep dive on that one a little bit, because I know that a lot of people probably struggle on this, and I know you're not a fan of the bargain basement sort of $47 type products that we see splattered all over the internet and stuff. But I mean, what are two or three things that we can do to test what we believe our audience is going to be happy to pay for? I mean, is there anything we can do specifically?
Yes, and here's a very simple rule. You should already be able to virtually guarantee that they will buy your product before you ever sell it. Okay? That's a bold claim, and I really mean it. I hate the idea of people, I spent like 3 months, 6 months, 9 months building this product. I got the website. I have this analytics in here. Oh, let me see if they're going to buy. That's not how it works. Okay? You need to know beforehand. Otherwise, why are you spending all this time creating this amazing product if you don't know that they're going to buy? Look, guys, it's like the equivalent of if you're going to propose to someone, you already know the answer before you propose, okay? You better know the answer because you've done your homework. You've spent your time. Same thing here. So how do you do it? We ask people in our qualitative testing phase, right? And we cover this in the course. Tell us about your pain point. And they first will just be like, you know, I don't feel happy with the way I look. And we're like, okay, tell us more. You know, what would it mean to look amazing? What have you tried in the past? And we're asking these qualitative questions. So now we're coming up with theories. Oh, okay, so they're looking for help losing weight, or they want better style, or whatever it may be. And then we keep their email address, and we keep talking to them like a real conversation. And we'll say, you know, if we were to come up with something like this, and we, you know, roughly priced it at between this and this, would you be interested in? Okay, guess what most people will say?
Give it to me.
Well, I mean, that's the dream that they say that. But in reality, most people will say this. They'll be like, oh, I could see how that would be interesting.
Right.
You know, maybe when I had a little more time, yeah. Or, oh, you know, I think that would be really interesting for my friend. Or, yeah, I could see how I would do that. All of those mean no.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
All of those mean no. The only yes is an unqualified, unreserved yes in all caps.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
The same thing. If you ask someone to marry you and they're like, oh, I could see how that would be interesting. That's a no.
Right.
Okay? That's a no. The only yes is a yes. And so you have to – this is a very, very subtle thing. Because I used to have this same problem. I would – people would tell me like, yes, I like this is a huge pain point of mine. Oh, my God, I can't get my budget together, or I wish I had more money. I would do anything to get in control of my money. So then I go behind the scenes. I spend like 9 months building this course, and I launch it. And they're like, oh, you know, that sounds really cool, but I don't really have the time. Hopefully later, dot, dot, dot. People who are never going to take action always end their emails with dot, dot, dot. It's the most bizarre, weird thing, but they do.
Yeah, so, it's like it means infinity to infinity and beyond, right? Literally.
Exactly.
You know what
it's
I mean?
Like if I see, you know, there are little verbal tics people have that,
right.
that very clearly dictate if they're going to be someone who takes action and someone who doesn't. And the dot, dot, dot is like the most bizarre one of all.
Right.
It's like, all right, so they go, they say that, and now I'm frustrated because I spent 9 months because I thought they told me they wanted this. And so, I got very resentful. And I realized that it's not their fault. I wasn't asking the right questions. The only yes is a yes. When you have enough yeses, then you know that your product is, like the world is waiting for your product, okay? And by the way, when you have those yeses, you already have a buyer base. So when you say, great, I'll be back, you know, you could collect their money right then if you want. And we show you how to do this, or you can go build the product and just reply to that email and say, the course is ready. Here you go. Here's the link. Boom. So again, this is a very different approach than just kind of like asking a few different email questions and then saying, oh, I think I got it. And then going off and spending a few months building something and then coming back and nobody buys it. You need to know that they're going to buy it before you ever do it. That's what we teach in the course.
Love it, man. There's so much in the course as well that we're probably not going to be able to touch base on. But I mean, I do want to focus in a little bit on the selling side of things. So you go through actual triggers, you know, and we're talking like psychological triggers here that almost persuade people to buy. You go through, and this is the one thing that stood out to me and was really, really sexy, was the complete rundown and the breakdown of an entire email sales funnel, including why you actually go ahead and do it and structure those you know, that order responder the way you do. I mean, you've not really pulled back any punches on this. It's really, this is it. This is all you really need to be able to go from, you know, zero to launching your own business online. I mean, this is it, right?
Yeah, thanks for saying that. You know, I believe that real expertise is shown through specifics.
Right.
So when I used to read all these books about personal finance, this and that, and they would always give really vague generalities on the best accounts to use, mostly because they didn't want to piss off certain banks. They wanted to do partnerships. So when I wrote my book, you know, I'm not allied with anyone. I'm completely independent. And I named names. I told people the best accounts to use, and I told them the worst accounts to avoid. And I think people actually respect that. Because we all crave just specifics. Look, I don't want to become a personal finance expert. Just tell me the best account to open up and put my money. Just tell me. Because I trust you. I know you've done the research. Same thing with launching a successful online business. I could tell you all these vague generalities like, oh, go do research, etc. But I want to show you the specifics of what worked for us. And we know we tested it with hundreds and hundreds of thousands of data points, in often cases, millions. So here's one that we'll talk about. A launch we did, and this product generated well over $500,000. It's a very profitable product for us. And we included the exact sales funnel that we used for this product. Now, it's very surprising because, first of all, you don't see tested funnels out very often.
No. They're,
you know, it's very hard to find them. Second, you don't hear the reasons of why they worked. So I'll tell you a little story about this this product, which I think might surprise people. We created a product based on our research, and this product was priced at roughly $497. I say roughly because we did some price testing, and that's where it settled. Okay, so we rolled this product out, and we had a funnel. The funnel was about 5 days long. Now, that in and of itself right there is pretty interesting because you don't necessarily need to have a one-month-long funnel for a product. We can show you how to do it in about 5 emails. And we know, we tested it. So we rolled this product out, and you know, people bought it. We rolled it out to a small segment, and we watched as they went through the course. And we watched in horror because we started getting really, really bad results. What happened was people asked for a refund within hours of joining the course. That is not supposed to, I mean, people shouldn't ask for a refund at all if the course is great.
Right.
They certainly should not ask in a few hours. And when I saw, it wasn't just one person, it wasn't just two, it was more than that. And so I immediately pulled the plug. We stopped marketing the course immediately. And I put together a tiger team of about, of a few people. And I said, figure this out. We have to understand what's going on here. So we talked to the people who had refunded. We asked them why. We talked to the people who had bought, we asked them why, and we talked to the people who had not bought. Now, right there, another insight. When you launch something and people buy it or don't buy it, you want to understand why. So you want to ask your buyers, why did you buy? What are you hoping to get out of this? You also want to ask your non-buyers. And you can say it like this. You can say, look, really appreciate you being on my list. I have a question for you. I'm not selling at all. I just want to understand. I noticed that you didn't join ABC course that I just released. I'm totally cool with that. But could you give me a little bit of insight? Could you tell me why this wasn't the right course for you? Thanks. I really appreciate it. Chris. Okay, that is going to give you massively valuable insights. And again, a lot of times you just get frustrated if somebody doesn't buy. But instead of getting frustrated, we just think of it as this. We say it's not a failure. It's a test. They didn't buy? Cool, let me figure out why. So now here's what happened. This is pretty interesting. We realized we had missed some really subtle things in marketing this product. We hadn't marketed it exactly the right way. So on the first webinar, we had converted 3% of people. Okay, 3%. We took another cohort, another segment of people, and we ran another webinar. Same exact slides. We did not change one word, but I changed a few things in the way I positioned it as I was speaking. Same exact slides, same number of people on the webinar. This time we converted 26%. That was worth hundreds of thousands of dollars to us.
Big jump.
Put it back out.
Yeah.
Big jump. So we include the exact sales funnel in that course. That alone, I mean, when I was starting out, I would have killed. I would have done anything to get just one sales funnel. And that is about, you know, 0.2% of the entire zero to launch course.
So let me ask you this. Who should not think about going through zero to launch?
I mean, a few people. So I run my business, like I said, I made some unusual business decisions. One of them is I don't allow anyone with credit card debt to join any of my flagship courses. And that decision costs over $2 million a year. But I believe it's the right thing to do. You know, I'm not looking for anyone who has credit card debt. I want them to take that money, focus on paying off their debt, and once they're debt-free, come back. I'll still be here. I've been here 10 years. I'll be here many, many more.
Right.
But I also think that anyone who's looking to create a physical product, zero to launch probably isn't for you. Anyone who's looking for one of those quick fixes where they're like, you know, I need to make money quickly, don't come to this course. This course is about building beautiful artisanal products that the world will love.
Right.
Like if you think of an artisanal knife, you know, the blade is beautiful. The thing you hold it with is handcrafted. That's the kind of product that we want to build. Mm-hmm. It takes time. It's not like you're going to make $1 million this year. I'm just being brutally realistic. I actually think it's respectful to be honest with people about what is possible. I've seen too many promises out there. It's like, I'll show you how to make $750,000 your first year. It's not going to happen, guys.
No, I don't like that BS. That's just a huge amount of BS involved. Yeah. And it's a weak way to sell, as far as I'm concerned as well.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
You know, another weak way, here's an interesting insight that could save your readers a lot of revenue. You don't need to discount to sell. How many of us have seen someone who you go to their website, they're launching something, and they have this product, they're extolling the virtues of how great it is. This is the best product in the world for blah. By the way, it's 50% off for the next 2 days only. If it were so great, why would you be discounting it 50%?
Right, and I've fallen victim to that myself in pricing my own courses before, and I've done it once and once only, and I totally, completely, and utterly hate myself for doing it, because I not only did I lose a load of money, but I believe it totally discounted the quality of the course in terms of the perceived value anyway.
That's exactly right. So this, for everyone listening, this is the insights, the type of insights. You can certainly learn them on your own. Like Chris, you learned it. You learned that you lost a lot of revenue, and worse, you discounted the quality, and even worse, you got a terrible quality of customer. Mm. Okay? You don't need that. These are the insights you can learn on your own, or you can go through something like Zero to Launch and just automatically get the insights that others have spent millions, you know, and 10 years learning. So for me, you know, I invest heavily in myself too, whether it's through personal training, other courses, classes, etc. And you know, I believe heavily in investing. So I think there's something powerful about learning from others' mistakes and successes. Because yeah, you know, we're all smart. We could probably figure this out on our own. But if you can get even the smallest of advantages, why not?
Absolutely.
Why not bet on yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. You know? Absolutely. So okay, so that answers a question. Who is it not right for? Who is it right for? Who should be getting involved with Zero to Launch?
So I love this, because when I originally opened up ZTL, this is hilarious. Every time I tell this, I love it. I got a few text messages from some friends of mine, three friends actually, and they were looking over the material, and they go, hey.
By the way, I love all your little voices. I think they're freaking awesome. Hey, ooh, hello, how are you? All this stuff, it's awesome, man. I just want to keep going. Can you stay in character for the rest of the show? Go on, carry on.
These guys are texting me, and they go, hey, Zero to Launch looks cool, but it looks a little basic, a little beginner for me. Do you think it's too basic for me? And I write back, listen, I'll give you my honest advice, but tell me, what is your business revenue? Okay. And this is where I love it. So one of them told me that their business revenue was about like around like $25,000 a year. And then the other two were at around between $200,000 to $500,000 a year. And I'm sitting there about to spit my coffee all over myself, because I'm like, this is the height of arrogance to think that you can't learn something from material that generated millions and millions of dollars, over 15,000 paying customers in tons and tons of different industries. So I loved it, because so often we look at other material, courses, teachers, coaches, and we say, oh, I'm too advanced for that. And especially the guy who was making $25,000 a year, I just thought to myself, you know what? You probably shouldn't join. Because if you think you're too advanced to learn from material that's, you know, generated a significant amount of revenue and helped a lot of people around the world negotiate their salaries, start a business, blah, 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 then no material can help you. It's your own mindset that's going to hold you back. It's not any content. So the people that it's right for, anyone who's creating an information product, anyone. I have people who join the course who are generating over $1 million a year. Those people are the best customers. You know why? Because they know that even one insight can double, triple, quadruple their business. Just one. Like absolutely. We have a vault. We have four vaults in the course. And the vaults are these hyper-tactical pieces of material. I have an interview with someone on my team. It's over an hour long. We detail how we created some of our most successful products. That interview alone, we could sell that for thousands. We have another one where we show how we quadrupled the number of email subscribers. We have another vault material where we talk about how we used a certain strategy to dramatically bump our sales. I mean, those alone, it's like reading a great book. You know that just one page can produce a massive change in your life. Why wouldn't you do it?
Absolutely.
So for those people, anyone who has an information product, anyone who wants to create an online business and has a reason beyond just money, of course we'll show you how to generate substantial revenue. Like I said, the material in Zero to Launch was used to generate millions and millions of dollars. Mm-hmm. But there's got to be something deeper. Like for us, we want to take our message to the world and share it so that they can live a rich life. Whether it is through starting a business, negotiating salary, finding a dream job, even getting fit. That's my mission, right? To help people lead a rich life. So if you have an idea that, you know, you want to live a flexible lifestyle, or you want to have a rich life, whatever that is defined for you, then I think Zero to Launch could help. And, you know, finally, my belief is just learn from someone who's done it, not just once, not just twice, but someone who's done it and has seen all the promises and all the pitfalls. That's the kind of person I want to learn from, because they know stuff that I don't even know I should know. And that's what we tried to include in Zero to Launch.
Yeah, I love it. It's you know, I knew that today's conversation was going to be, obviously inspiring, but also it enables me personally as someone who's, you know, not just talking to you now, but obviously we've had the opportunity to meet in the past and get to see each other and shake hands and do all these things when you have that ability to be able to then deep dive like we have done today after that initial meeting like that, and you know so much about that person, it just strikes it home even further that this is the real shit. I mean, we're not holding back here. What you see is what you get. And like you say very clearly, you should be learning from people that have been there, done it, you know, printed the damn t-shirt, not just worn it. You know what I'm saying? And and we're not going to be talking about the t-shirts that you and Derek Halpin have printed of each other and all this stuff. I like to dig at that every now and then when I'm chatting. But I mean, you know, it is what it is, man. And you know, you summed it up perfectly. I got one last question to answer you though, because you've mentioned this term a couple of times as we've talked, and I scribbled it down the first time you mentioned it, and I want to wrap the show up on this. What does a rich life mean to Ramit? What does it mean to you?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked it. Because I think that amidst all the stuff we talk about, like segmentation and multivariate testing and, you know, creating artisanal products, there's got to be a why.
Right.
And I've always had this belief that I respect your choice of what a rich life means to you. You know, for some of my friends, it's, you know, I want to buy really nice shoes, or I want to have an amazing wardrobe. And I support that. I said, awesome. You want to buy $500 or $2,000 shoes? Be my guest. Let me show you how to live that rich life. I don't believe in judging anyone. So if you want to fly to Vegas for a $3,000 weekend with your buddies, be my guest. Let me show you how to afford that.
Right.
For me, a rich life, there's a few things I have to me that represent it. Number one is flexibility and freedom. So, you know, I have two apartments, one in New York, one in San Francisco. That's amazing. I can travel whenever I want, last minute flights if I need to, and just boom. Flexibility. You know, I work out in the middle of the day. I have a trainer. I believe in learning from the best. So that's been great. You know, honestly, Chris, like the surprising part of a rich life for me is how small some of the items are.
Sure.
So a couple of examples, like it didn't have to be that I sat there and bought a Rolls Royce That, you know, that's not really what I'm about. I love the idea that when I go out to eat, if I want to order one appetizer or two, it's no problem. And to me, that's meaningful because, you know, I came from a pretty large family and we would never order appetizers. We never ate out. We ate out maybe once a month, and it was when we had a coupon for this pizza place. That's
it. Right.
Ordering appetizers? No way. Ordering room service? I never had room service till I was about 24.
Right.
The other thing is, you know, I don't have to think about the little purchases anymore. So if I want to go and get a special type of tortilla chips, I don't even look at the price. It's irrelevant.
Right.
If I want to take a taxi instead of a Subway. The final thing, which just happened recently, I asked my friends, some of them are pretty successful entrepreneurs, and I said, hey, you guys, when you make it to the next level, what is the next level purchase that you want to make? And there were some interesting answers. You know, one guy said, I want a concierge doctor, so the doctor comes to my apartment and I don't have to go wait in line. I thought that was a cool one.
That's very cool. Another guy, I like that.
Very cool, right? Yeah, you trade your money for time. So the doctor comes. I have another guy. He has the hairdresser come to his house. Perfect. Another person said they want to get a bigger apartment. Somebody said they want a jet. Okay, cool. And then they asked me, and my answer was pretty surprising to a lot of people. Okay, so I have the apartment and this and that. I told them that I absolutely hate packing when I travel. I hate it. I don't want to spend the time thinking about what outfits. I don't want to, fold it. I just hate it all. I said, I want to hire someone to pack my clothes for me. And the funny thing is, I mean, it's kind of ridiculous, right? Because you think like, well, you can pack yourself. And I just said, like, I know I can, and I've been doing it for 30 plus years, but I hate it.
But I don't want to do it anymore, right?
I hate it. So, and the funny thing, you know how much it costs? It costs like, you know, $50 to hire someone to come do it.
I was going
to
say, there's got to be someone out there, both in San Fran and New York, that is doing that for people.
What? I did it. I hired someone to do it. And so this person comes over. They already have an agenda from my assistant of all my events when I travel, what I'm going to be doing, going out, breakfast, whatever. She comes over. She pulls all the clothes, folds them, categorizes them. Boom. And
so
it's so funny. It's so good, right? I mean, to me, I just sit there and watch, and I have this smile on my face for like 1 hour. It's the best part of my
day. Video it. I'd video that. I would totally video it.
I'm going to do that next time.
Yeah.
But you know what? To me, that represents the idea that a rich life can be anything to you. It could be $50. It could be, you know, the personal trainer I have that I've spent tens of thousands of dollars with. It could be like I flew my parents in for Christmas, okay? And that was like a last minute flight. I was happy to do it. So for whatever a rich life is to you, you can take what you already have, what's inside of you, your skills, your experiences. You can share that with the world, help other people, and run a profitable business. That's what we're talking about with Zero to Launch. That's what we're talking about with a rich life. So the main thing I want to leave everyone with is you don't have to be some genius in some technical skill, right? You can take what is unique to you. Maybe you know how to teach English to children. Maybe you know how to do a certain type of dog training. Whatever it may be. We have a guy, he's teaching other men how to dance, and he's running a great business with that. Okay? Any of those things, we can show you how to take the glimmer of an idea and turn it into a successful business. That's what I'm excited about for next year.
Yeah, I love it, man. Well, I know you're going to kill it here in 2015. I just know it's going to happen. And you guys listening in should jump on this. And, you know, we've been able to put a special link together for you guys. If you want to get involved with Zero to Launch, I want you to head over to I Will Teach You to Be Rich. There's that domain name. You say it out loud and you got to smile. I do anyway. IWillTeachYouToBeRich.com/ChrisDucker, okay? /ChrisDucker. Special page set up by Ramit and his team. Links to everything that we've discussed in the show, as always, over on the show notes, over at ChrisDucker.com/episode79. Ramit, Sethi, thank you so much for coming on the show, brother, and dropping all these value bombs. There's nothing left of my microphone. You've blown it up.
This was a lot of fun, man. Thank you for having me.
It sure was. So anyway, for you guys listening, head over one more time. iwillteachyoutobericch.com/ChrisDucker. Go and check out what Zero to Launch is going to do for you. And I will see you real soon in another episode of New Business Podcast. Until then, take good care, be kind to each other, and do something special. Talk to you soon. If you want to catapult the growth of your business in today's economy, you need to join my free 7-day new business bootcamp for actionable tips on blogging, online video, outsourcing, podcasting, social media, and much, much more. Just visit chrisducker.com for more details and instant access. I'll see you on the inside.